Let's open our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, notice that, for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. That will be our text. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. We want to use verse 5, the latter part of it, as our text. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Peter, in his simple obedience to the word of the Lord, was appealing to the greatest principle that I can think of that governs the lives of men today, and that is, at thy word. He was responding to that. And it governs, it's the strongest force that has brought into being and now continually sustains this great universe. At God's word it came into being, and at God's word it's sustained. The Bible says that all things consist, are glued together, are upheld by Him. And now we find that even the angels which excel in strength do thy commandments, hearkening to the voice of thy word. That's Psalm 103, verse 20. They hearken to the commandments of God, the voice, the commandments of His word. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. It's in the beginning God said, let there be light, and there was light. At thy word, day and night began to rule. At thy word, the waters were divided. And by the way, they still have their place in this. You know that 3/4 of this whole planet is covered by water. And in the book of Job, let me read a scripture for you. In the book of Job, chapter 38 and verse 11, God, when He spoke to the waters, He said, hitherto shalt thou come and no further, and hither and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. I know there's a lot about global warming and about what's going to happen to this earth. Nothing will happen to it except God permits it and wills it. Amen. You know, all kinds of things are going on. Man hasn't done it a whole lot of good from time to time. I will admit that. But on the other hand, God is still in control of it. And He says as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest. There'll be summer and winter. There'll be all these things that will happen. And God is in control, not only of these things, but He's in control of kings and kingdoms. In the book of Daniel, let me read a scripture for you. In Daniel chapter 2, it says in verse 21, He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He removes them and sets them up. And He gives wisdom. I didn't read all of it. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And we could go on, and that would be another sermon altogether. But we find that God is in control, and at thy word is what needs to be followed today. The waters were divided. Day and night appeared. The dry land appeared, and the seas took their places on the earth at God's word. The earth was covered with life, vegetable and animal life. All living things were made. God's word was supreme in creation and now upholding all things by the word of His power. Saints through the ages have acted upon these three words, at thy word. At God's word, Noah built the ark. At God's word, Abraham came out of Ur of the Chaldees. At God's word, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, a blood sacrifice by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. You read that in Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll find that it's God's word that we need to adhere to. Abraham and Moses' call and Joshua's call and Gideon's call at God's word. And we could name many more. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 the whole roster of the heroes of faith. In that 11th chapter of Hebrews, it's a chapter of faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God made the worlds out of nothing. Someone says, well, there was this little speck here and this little thing here, and it hit something else, and it turned into blasted away, and we have all that we have in this universe. I can't believe that. No more than I can believe that all the parts of this watch were just thrown up in there, and they came and put on my wrist just like that. It's real miraculous, isn't it? Something was behind this creation. So we have to realize that this ought to be the rule of life for all Christians, for the whole of their lives, at thy word, individually and personally. At thy word, let us consider this thought, at thy word. Let us individually consider it, and also consider it personally as we try to develop this message and bring it to you this morning. Three things we'll consider at thy word: the ordinary things of our daily lives, and secondly, for the good of our spiritual lives, and then thirdly, in our work for the Lord, which is being fishers of men. At thy word. You know, He's our guide. The Bible says, guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me into glory. Psalm 119, I believe it's 105, that says, thy word have I hid in my heart. No, that's not the one. Thy word have hid in my heart is earlier, that I might not sin against thee. That's another place. That's 119, verse 11. But 105 says this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So there are many things in the 119th Psalm that show us God's word that guides us. So we need to apply all of God's word to the daily affairs of our life. God told us in His word that we are to provide for our families, that we're to labor with our hands. Paul says that I may labor, that you labor with your hands, that you'll be able to have to give to those that need. And that's what it's all about. Labor that we can help other people. And it applies to our daily life. And regardless of the circumstance, we're to provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 says, honesty. And if you've never been taught that honesty is the best policy, you ought to be taught it right now.
Amen.
It is the best policy through life. And so sometimes I just already assume that you've been taught that, but if you haven't been, stamp it down. Amen. It's one of the principles that we live by. And God's Word teaches that we ought to be that way. There may be many temptations to sin, but remember, it's at thy word. You're obeying God's word. When you follow His word and you are led by the Spirit, you shall not submit to the lust of the flesh. Making a living for your family is a hard job. Fathers have this to do, and it's their responsibility. We need to understand that God has given us another word of assurance when we have problems and trials in life. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's at God's word that we're to come. So prayer. We need to pray much and God will provide. I remember when I was going to seminary for 3+ years, 3.5 years almost, taking postgraduate work after I finished my courses. But anyway, there was only one time that I can remember that I was out of a job. We finished the project where I was working on Sun Valley Drive. Some of you passed by there on Loop 820 on the south, Sun Valley Drive. That whole area was developed when I was going to school. There was no Loop 820 at that time. It was Cravens Road, and it was an old dirt gravel road, and I'm telling you, it wasn't too good. But anyway, I could tell you many stories about it, but to get to the point, when I was going to seminary there, this one time that I was out of work, my wife and I, we prayed and said, we just have to have work. So I went over to Arlington. The very first people I contacted had a job for me.
Amen.
And I mean, it was hard to find, but we prayed about it, and I went over there, and I got this job. And I was doing carpenter work during those days, and there's a whole lot of stories I could tell you that I won't waste time. I'll try to go ahead and preach the sermon. But anyway, pray. You say, well, God is not providing for me. Pray God will give you a job. And that's the way you're to be provided for.
Yes.
You know that?
Yeah.
Because Paul says, if a man will not work, neither should he what?
Eat.
So we're to work. And God has told us that a long time back. Wives and mothers, they're admonished to be keepers at home. Bring up their children in nurture and admonition of the Lord. And they can work with their hands. And they can help provide in many ways. And they can take on a lot of responsibilities that maybe if the husband's not able to, they can really fill in and do the work that God has led them to do and given them the talent and the ability to do. But we need to do all to the glory of God. The Bible tells us children are to remember that Jesus took the little children to Himself and blessed them. Jesus Himself had to grow in wisdom and stature. Those in schools of learning have to study and work hard if they're to learn. But one day it'll pay off. And by the way, especially in this day and hour, you need to get an education. It never should have been lacking in the life of any child. Do not neglect to study God's Word and get wisdom and get understanding. The Bible says, in all things, above all things, get understanding. In Proverbs chapter 4, and I won't go back and read all the verses, but you look in the 4th chapter of Proverbs and it tells you to get wisdom and get understanding. So in the ordinary things of life, and by the way, it matters in matters that will apply to our spiritual blessings, we must, at thy word, let down the net. Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. For any soul that's yet unsaved, you need to heed to God's word. And God's word says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that every man shall give an account of himself to God. We as Christians are going to have to give account as well. At thy word. You have the word of God that the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes.
And how do you accept the salvation? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your own personal Savior. And every individual must do that.
Yes.
You cannot depend upon husband or wife or son or daughter or father or mother. You must depend upon your own decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you can trust in His Word that if you'll receive Him, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. But it's a matter of your decision. For the child of God, you may have prayed much, and there is no answer to your prayer. But God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And Jesus said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word faint there means to just give up in despair, to just fold up or cave in, as we call it. Someone said, I just don't feel like praying. Well, that's a sign that you need to pray.
Amen.
That means you ought to pray. God hears and answers prayer. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. He didn't say you might. He says, ask and you shall receive. And James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God has given us exceeding many great things and precious promises in His Word. And each one fits our own particular need. We need to search the Scriptures, Jesus says. We need sanctifying grace being set apart to God. We need a closer presence of the Lord. Well, He hasn't gone anywhere. It's you and I that have departed. Have you ever seen this experience in life where a young couple would get married, and if the man's driving, sometimes it's reversed nowadays, but if he's driving, that little lady will be right next to him. You just say there's room for four more in that front seat.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you see her over here and him over here. And what happened? The man says, I haven't moved. Well, God hasn't moved either. We are the ones that separated ourselves, haven't we?
Yeah.
And so let's remember that we need a closer presence with the Lord, and it depends upon us to move back close to Him. He's still there.
Yeah.
And He'll always be there. But we need to move over and be close to Him. And that love that we have will cause us to do that. And let us notice now how this text, at thy word, applies to our work of winning souls. In order to win men to Christ, we must let down the gospel net. Paul says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. You can't expect to catch anything if you don't throw the net out there and drag it to land. So, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We do not use human or carnal reasonings and say, well, you know, this just won't happen. We have no ingenious methods to catch men. And by the way, this text says, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." There's only one other place in the Scripture that this word catch is used in the New Testament. And it means take alive. We're going to take them alive. Catch them. And the other place is 2 Timothy 2, verse 26. Let me read it for you. 2 Timothy 2:26 says, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive," that means taken alive, "by him at his will." The devil is in the business of catching men. He takes them, but we're to rescue them. And that's the only other place you'll find this in the New Testament. So we must do our part. There's no new gospel to preach. We preach the love of God manifested in giving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ giving Himself on the cross of Calvary in order to pay the supreme sacrifice and shed His blood for our redemption and our salvation. And we're to do this at His command. Ours is not to fill the net with fishes, but to let down the net. Excuse me. Jesus knew where the fish were. He says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw." By the way, notice he said nets. He meant all of them to do it. He didn't mean just Peter. That's where they got into trouble. They had just washed them up and they were ready for the next day's time of fishing. Next night. By the way, His Word is our reason for preaching. He has not given us an impossible task. The foolishness of preaching will turn out to be the greatest proof of the wisdom of God, because He says that by the preaching of the cross, people will be saved. Sinner, you have no other way to be saved but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way you and I were saved. That's the way anyone else will be saved. And you can't blame anyone else. If you do, you're blaming the wrong person. You'll say, "Well, you know, I had a bad childhood. Or this happened when I was young. Or this something else happened in my life." You may have had all these things. But you know, I've seen boys or girls from the most dire circumstances in life come to accept Christ. And sometimes those things, maybe even in God's way, be instrumental in bringing them to their need. Excuse me. And showing them that they need to trust the Lord and get out of the mess they've been in. We believe that everyone is guilty of disobedience. We will be guilty of disobedience if we do not let down the net as Christians. We're to let our light shine in the church. Paul says, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." And I'm trying to hurry through my points in this message, whether you know it or not. Because there are so many things I'd like to say. His Word is very powerful. It was powerful for Peter, who was under the influence of a great disappointment. I mean, he says, "We've toiled all night and caught nothing." Wouldn't that be disappointing? To be a professional fisherman and not take anything? Surely just a few little 6-inch fishes. "But we've toiled all night and caught nothing. But at the command of Jesus, they filled the ship." They filled the nets and filled the ship. So, under this very powerful influence, at thy word, even though he was greatly disappointed, he still did it. This command overcame his love of ease. You know, he'd already cleaned up all the nets and they're ready for another time. Why go out and have to do all this work over again? It's quite a job to clean those fishing nets that were dragged into the shore. All the debris and all the stuff. But they had to get them ready. And certainly he was tired, and now it's time to rest a little bit. It's hard work. Many today want to take the easy way. The Bible says in the book of Hosea, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." That's when David got in trouble. Remember, 2 Samuel chapter 11? At the time when the kings went forth to battle, David tarried still at Jerusalem. And that's when he got in trouble. And I won't preach that's another sermon. But we'll have to leave it. So, he was not held back by carnal reasoning. Reason would say, if we've caught nothing all the night, then surely not in the day. The church makes those excuses. We as individuals make those excuses. But we have to keep on. Peter immediately let down the net. And he took it personal. Whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. And do it when? Tomorrow, next day. Do it now. It was time for him to do it. The Bible teaches there's a proper time for everything. What about James and John and all the rest? Jesus was really saying, all of you let down the nets. Let down your nets for a draw, for a draft. Many souls are lost to the gospel because our nets are broken or we haven't put them in action. And if this church can be awakened so that we all get to work in the power of the Holy Spirit, what great things can be done. Someone said, well, I'll leave it up to the preacher to do the visiting. Preacher can't do all the visiting. Leave it up to the deacons and the Sunday school teachers. They can't do it all. Every one of us here. By the way, if God has saved you, He saved you to serve. Amen. That's why you're here. And everyone cannot be a song leader or sing special songs like these wonderful songs that we've heard this morning. As great as they are, other people have to participate too. Everyone, don't excuse yourself and say, I'm going to leave that up to the others in the church. You can invite someone to church or Sunday school. You can witness to them wherever you are, on the job or out in the public. And when you do, you may be the means of getting in them in the house of God, and that may be the means of them hearing the gospel or being taught the right way to live, or maybe become a member of the church. Maybe their salvation, maybe their church membership, maybe their life will be turned around if it's going in the wrong direction. And it's not someone else. It's me. We used to sing that song, not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And it's me when it comes to doing things. And you have to take your own responsibility. And when you do, God will bless it. Our time is getting away, and I have shortened my message a great deal. And let's stand. We're going to give a verse of invitation, hymn. If you're here this morning, you need to come for any reason. God knows your heart. If you've never accepted the Lord, you need to accept Christ. If you need a church home, you need to come and join the church. If you need to rededicate your life, we invite you to come. And I believe that God would have you to respond today, whatever your need is, as we sing. What number?
Number 375.
375, and as we sing, will you come?